Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Welcome to the July 16th edition, 2012, of Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, being joined by Matt Hankins from Team All You Can Eat, and we have a returning human hand grenade, Danny Only, back with us this week after a week off. Were you just exhausted from your weekend of wrestling, or were you actually ill with something?
I figure I might as well go ahead and dive right into it. So Friday I did PWX in Charlotte, North Carolina at the Neighborhood Theater. And anybody who's ever in Charlotte, you need to go check out that show because the venue is banging and the roster is awesome. I was in a six-man match and kind of a hey, we'll put you guys in this match deal. But I was nobody up there. It was my debut, so I didn't have a problem with that. Match went well. Friday night, I threw down like Danny Only throws down and ended up not sleeping at all Friday night. Saturday, we did York. But before that, around noon, Roderick Strong, Corey Hollis, Grizzly Redwood, and Birdman all got up. And they were like, hey, let's go out front and run some drills. And now keep in mind, I was the only one that was still awake. I had actually left and went to the store at 8 o'clock and bought a 12-pack of beer. And Roderick Strong was like, yeah, when I woke up, there was 5 beers missing. I was like, yeah, that was all me, bro. Come on. So we went out and did drills, and the drills were 15 burpees, 25 push-ups, 15 jump squats, and then run down to the end of the street and back with Grizzly Redwood's little parachute strapped to the back. And I only did 3. You know, that's all I can do. But they only did 5, so I don't feel so bad. So we did that.
I like Grizzly Redwood a lot.
Dude, he's cool as shit, man. That was my first time ever meeting him, and he's really cool. He's a cool person, really good wrestler, really good worker, really good head for the business. It just sucks he's only like 4'1". but yeah, so, and then Saturday we went to York, South Carolina, and they didn't have anything for me because the television company that was filming the show for TV said that they didn't want to use me because they thought that my tattoos were gang-related. So
what show was that?
They clearly are. This was still PWX. This was PWX's Saturday show.
Oh, okay.
So it ended up working out for the better for 2 reasons. Although if I knew I was going to wrestle, I would have slept Friday night. I went into Friday night thinking that at most I was going to wrestle Lodi, which would have been a piece of cake. You know, we would have had a blast and it would have been great. But it ended up better because John Schuyler actually got to wrestle Cedric Alexander in the first round of the TV title tournament. And that was a really, really good match. And in Mom's opinion, healthy or not, I think it was a better match than I could have done. So I got to do commentary for 4 of the matches that will be on the DVD, and then around 11:30, show was over, and I made my rounds and told everybody I'm out of here, and had a overwhelming dude go fucking get some sleep from everybody in the building. So I jumped in the car, drove down the road, and this is where it gets hairy, because I pulled into a gas station, and I walked in, got a Gatorade, and as I'm walking out, this 1986 or 84 Buick rolling on 24s pulled into the parking lot, and 4 African-American gentlemen jumped out of the car.
I don't like where this is going.
And at first I'm like, okay, no big deal. I'm from Atlanta. That's not the first ghetto sled I've ever seen. So I go to get my car, and then a Delta 88 on 24s blocks the exit. It blocks one of the exits. And, like, 8 dudes get out of that car. And then another, I can't remember what kind of car it was, maybe a Caprice, something like that, pulled in and blocked the other exit, and six dudes got out of that car. So I'm looking around, and I'm the only Caucasian individual probably within 100 miles. So,
with gang tattoos,
like,
no less.
Yeah, I know, right? So I'm like, man, fuck this, not the kid, I'm getting out of here. So I jumped in my car, jumped the curb, and took off and got down the road. I went to stop at a hotel, and there was no hotel, so I jumped on the interstate, and I knew I was wrestling Sunday in Columbia. So I jumped on the interstate, started driving down, and for those who have not been in South Carolina and have driven 77 south, there ain't shit on the interstate for like 55 minutes. Nothing. So about an hour and a half, 2 hours after I left the show, I finally got to a hotel. And when I get there, the lady's busy. So I go take a piss. When I come out, there's a dude in line. It takes her like 30 minutes to ring him up. So when I finally get in, I get to my room. It's like 2.5 hours later, and I'm already like the walking dead, man. I open the hotel room. It's 110 degrees in the room because they didn't have the air on. So I just cranked the AC and jumped in the shower and took a couple sleeping pills and chased it back with the little last little bit of Jack Daniels I had and went to sleep. Got me some good 10-hour sleep. Woke up and then wrestled in Columbia outside in the daytime. It was like 106,000 degrees outside. And then we all decided to go to the bar, and myself, John Schuyler, John Malice, and Chase Stevens, Caleb Conley, Zane Silver, a couple other people, we were all out at the bar. And Chase Stevens made a smoked Sambuca, and that was a kind of a wake-up.
Oh, God damn it, no.
That was a wake-up call to me, because when you party so hard that just drinking isn't a good enough way to ingest alcohol, you have to smoke the shit. There's something wrong with
that. That's pretty hard to drink anyway.
Yeah, Chase Stevens is the devil. And that drink is the devil's breath. And that something killed us, man. So I wake up. I remember leaving the bar at like 8:30, 9 in the morning. And we went to IHOP to eat. And I had heard about a game that they invented when I was up there. That at first I was like, nah, you ain't playing with me. And then once I got drunk, I was like, let's do it. And it was called Hockey Punch. And Hockey Punch is when you put your fist about 6 inches away from somebody's face, and when they turn around, you punch them. And so we played that all night. Finished IHOP. I woke up on John Schuyler's futon at like noon and had to drive home like 3.5 hours. Drove home, got home, took a nap for a little bit, woke up, and I was like, all right, I'm feeling okay. You know, I ate some food. I was like, all right, I should be good to do the show. And I was doing fine until about, I don't know, man, like 6:30. It hit me hard. I was a combination of exhausted, a little bit hungover, a little bit worn out. So I just couldn't do it, man. So that was it. I tapped out and went to sleep. And I didn't feel right until Wednesday. So, I mean, I don't know how many people know me, but I can throw down. And I wasn't good until Wednesday. So that should tell you what the weekend was like.
What was the show that you wrestled at in Columbia? Was that also PWX?
Force. It was WrestleForce, run by John Malice. It was a bar called Jake's Bar and Grill down at Little Five Points. Down at Five Points in Columbia. And it was pretty cool. And it was a pretty good show. I worked the guy named Six, and got to do something a little different from what I usually do. And just had a lot of fun, man. I mean, it was hot as shit, but it was fun. Met a lot of cool people. Hung out with a lot of cool folks and got really, really, really drunk. So
I love how you make up for the lack of distance that you had to travel for this particular road trip. You just decided to double up on everything else.
Yeah, man. I mean, what can I say? I did what I did. Oh, I worked out Sunday before I went to the show too. So in a 3-day drunk fueled wrestling trip, I worked out twice, which is more than most people do during the week. So, and then for those who are interested, you can go to youtube.com/DannyOnly, and I have uploaded a new video that is given a little bit of insight on this whole Eric Corvus situation. Because for those who may or may not know, I was served with papers that I have now 30 days to answer for charges of assault and battery, aggravated assault, and assault with a deadly weapon. So I've got 30 days to answer the charges. And I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. I think I might take a little vacation. So we'll see, though. But yeah, the video's up. It explains a little bit of what's going on.
All right. I haven't had a chance to watch the video, but I have been keeping track of everything with your posts on Facebook and everything where you posted the papers and all that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Chris Dickinson from the Northeast, he's wrestled Beyond Wrestling, Jersey All-Pro. He's a staple up in the Northeast. We'll be calling next week, probably around 7:10, 7:15. So we have a guest for next week in the Dirty Dick, Chris Dickinson.
Who is and where is he from?
He's from the Northeast. I think he lives in New York right now. But he's a really good dude. He's been around for a while, and he knows his shit. And when the first Beyond show I went to, he was recuperating from an injury. I'm not exactly sure what happened, but he had a leg injury that had him out for the better part of a year. I want to say maybe a torn ACL, torn MCL, something like that. But he was there, you know, giving feedback and helping out with everybody. And it was good to listen to him because he had a lot of knowledge. And he's a character, man. He's definitely somebody who I get along with because he's real controversial. For people who are familiar with AIW, the last show they did, and AIW is Absolute Intense Wrestling out in Cleveland, Ohio. And for those who follow that or who decide to follow it after the show, the last show they had, Chris Dickinson interjected himself into the post-show shenanigans and was the topic of much debate, I guess is the word I can use. But you have to read it yourself if you want to know what happened.
All right, cool. Well, get back to some of what we have in store for tonight's show. We have Robert Gibson. I'm going to go ahead and tell you he called me the other day and said he'd do the show, and then I tried to reconfirm with him yesterday and today and haven't heard back from him. So we may end up talking to Terry Lawler for a minute instead. That's his opponent on Thursday at this thing called Wrestle Rock, R-O-K, in Covington. It's a wrestling and rock show. And it says
is that the one
be...
for Mary Kay Ailes?
What's that?
Is that the one where they're wrestling for Mary Kay Ailes because they can't spell miracles?
No, no, no.
Okay, good.
No, this is something Terry Lawler's putting together. There's a band called Pit Boss playing. The main event is...
Snack on.
What's that?
Nothing. It was my kid doing exactly what I thought he was going to do. There's a problem with kids today, and they don't want to eat right, so they'll snack on their dinner a little bit, and they'll be like, oh, I'm full. So an hour later, they can be like, can I have something to snack on so they can eat more junk food? That's why I'm a kid, though. It pisses me off. Every cookie you eat, you're doing a push-up, boy.
So, anyway, Wrestle Rock is at the National Guard Armory in Covington on Thursday night. The main event is a cage match between Pandora and Aisha Sunshine, which is always a good pairing, good matchup. But Terry Lawler and Robert Gibson of the Rock and Roll Express will be wrestling, and it's the Rock and Roll Express's 30th anniversary. And Thursday is also Robert Gibson's birthday, so he will be celebrating doubly that night. But we're going to take us to a commercial real quick, and I'll try to get Robert Gibson on the line. If I can't, I'll just call Terry Lawler, and we'll get him to talk real quick about the event. And then a little later, we're going to hear from Tony Cozina, who is part of Davey Richards' wrestling camp, and they're going to be Davey Richards, Kyle O'Reilly, Tony Cozina, and I forget the other guy's name that they brought with them last time. But the four of them will be at Empire Wrestling on Friday and Platinum Championship Wrestling on Saturday in Porterdale and Rampage, NWA Rampage, on Sunday. But that's a little later on, so let's go to a commercial, and we'll be back in just a few minutes, hopefully with Robert Gibson.
Pay the bills, boy.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Red Gunkel or Gordon Soley? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling
at the Academy Theater in Avondale State.
We're also at the Masquerade every month or so.
Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Championship Wrestling.
And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire,
formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling.
We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
Back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams with WrestlingWithPopCulture.com. On the line with the human hand grenade, Danny Only, and Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins. Wasn't able to get Robert Gibson, but Terry Lawler should be calling us any second now, and he'll give us a quick rundown of what's going on at his show on Thursday. And so I guess we'll just wait for that. But
I got a question. I'll pose a question while we're thinking about it, or while we're waiting.
Yes, sir.
There's actually a two-part question. And one is it better to have wrestled at most a C-list wrestler and done so on your own merit, or to have wrestled a lower A to high B class wrestler, but you had to pay to do it? Like you had to book them on your show and bring them in and put yourself in the main event? I know, I already know the answer to this question, but I'm curious to see what you guys think.
I think you do know the answer.
It's better to wrestle on your own terms than to manipulate the situation so you get to wrestle some guy whose name somebody might know.
Yeah.
And especially if that C-list guy's good.
Right, right. I mean, because we, you know, people talk about, you know, how, you know, if you got in the wrestling business to make money, you're an idiot. And granted, there are some guys that do make money, and that's great. But if you got in the wrestling business to be rich, you're stupid. Most of us will end up losing money here and gaining money there. Some of the shows that I go through, the trips I go on, I end up losing money. So in a way, I guess I did pay to wrestle. But I will never put myself in a situation where I outright pay somebody $40 to put me on a card with somebody else. You know, I refuse to do it. I know people who have. The other question is, oh shit, I forgot.
Danny, you know, we're now joined by Terry the Rocker Lawler, so he might have some insight into your questions as well.
What's up, brother?
What's going on? I missed the question. What was the first question?
The question was, in your opinion, is it better to, at best, wrestle a C-list wrestler and have done so on your own merit, like you did it by paying your dues and doing what you needed to do, or to wrestle an A or B caliber wrestler, but you paid to do it? Like, for example, you booked the show, booked them on your show, and put yourself in the main event so you could wrestle them.
So,
basically,
what'd you say, Terry?
I said, but basically, you're just marking out for yourself and the person, so you're actually you're buying that match.
There you go. See, I know I like Terry Lawler.
to me, it's stupid. I mean, you know, using a name or somebody to help draw people to the show and make the show better, but just to book it because either A, you want to put yourself over on a name, or B, your daddy makes you the champion, or you buy the championship. No, it's a bunch of bullshit, you know. If you can't earn it, don't buy it.
Dad.
It seems so much truer when Terry Lawler says it.
Yeah. And then the second question. The second question came up from an incident that happened, you know, late last night on Facebook. And I guess I'm a dick for this, but there's a certain show that was running, or there's a certain promotion that's running a show, and they put out a flyer advertising for it. And the show was for a very good cause. I applaud them for doing it, and I really hope that they stick true to their word and that the proceeds do actually go to that cause. Because I've heard of a lot of companies who are like, yeah, all our money's going to March of Dimes, and it just went to march his ass down the road to get him more pizza. So I really hope that they stick to it. It's a really good cause. However, they put out a flyer where the name of their charity was misspelled. And I was like, if you're going to put a flyer out, take 5 minutes to proofread it. If you can't read, get someone to proofread it before you put it out, because as a wrestling promotion, you are advertising your name. And if you advertise your name on the internet and your charity is misspelled, it makes you look like an idiot. Well, somebody came on and they're like, oh, come on, take it easy on the guy. So what? It's misspelled. It's for a good cause. I'm like, that doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it's for. If you're promoting your business, which a wrestling company is, if you're promoting your business and your charity is misspelled on the flyer that you are promoting, there's something wrong. And it's even doubly wrong for someone to say, just let them slide because they're doing it for a good cause. That just annoys me to no end, because if you've got a card in the mail that said, give money to the March of Dimes, and every word was misspelled, you wouldn't give a dime to them. You know, it's just, it's something that got to me, and I think I was even matter by the fact that somebody was like, oh, take it easy on the guy. He blah, blah, blah. He can't read or whatever. Then get somebody else to make it fire.
So what's your question, Danny?
Should you just be like, is it okay to be like, oh, well, you're doing it for a good cause, so we'll just let it slide that your flyer sucks and you can't spell right because you're doing it for a good cause?
No, that would almost be like me putting Terry's kids instead of Jerry's kids.
Yeah.
I'm a big supporter. I'm, you know, 20 plus years supporting and doing stuff with the March of Dimes. I mean, not March of Dimes, but MDA, mm-hmm. the kids camps, all that. But you know, but that's why you let at least a minimum of 5 people proof your posters.
Right.
And I always try to get someone who is not involved or even cares about a wrestler, so let them look it over, because as most wrestlers, we just skim over certain stuff, and we know what it's supposed to be, and sometimes we overlook the wording. So you get someone outside, but if it's for a charity, I'll always just use their actual logo, which makes better sense, because everything is visually sold. You know, that you see a golden arch, you don't have to read McDonald's, you know exactly what it is.
Right, right. And the problem, I think, with that, Gary, is you actually care. So you would take the time and effort to do that. Other people are like, it's just a poster for a show. It doesn't matter who proofreads it. Just go ahead and put it out. And then when you want to go in and bash it, they're like, hey, this is my show. Nobody told you to bash it. I'm like, hey, look, bro, when you put something on the internet, it's wide open, you know, for criticism. If I put a match on and it sucks, and people tell me it sucks, I can't say, uh-oh, you're stupid. You know, I put it out there to be critiqued. So, you know, also, if you're going to throw it out, man, you gotta be willing to deal with everything that comes from throwing it out there.
Your posters and your flyers is the first thing most people see before they even get to your show.
Right.
And that reflects and sets the tone for the whole show. And if it's for a good cause, I've been known to order posters and realize, hey, this is like crap or something's wrong. I go in my own pocket and make it right, you know, and because that is the best thing. And especially if it is for a good cause, you know, put the love and effort into it, you know.
Right.
Well, my answer to your question, Danny, is I'm a writer, and so, yeah, I make a living not doing things like that and correcting things like that, so it bugs the hell out of me when I see it, too.
And it makes it worse if that's somebody else's name that you're screwing up. If you screw up the name of your promotion on your flyer, that's one thing, but to screw up the charity's name, that makes them look raggedy, too. So you're not only are you just making yourself look bad, you're taking the attention away from what people should be focusing on, which is, hey, this is a good thing. And now what we talk about is, hey, you're stupid. But that's why you proofread it. It's not hard. They make word.
You want to know who has a great flyer for an upcoming event?
Who's that, Jonathan?
There's an event on Thursday called Wrestle Rock. And I don't know why Rock is missing a C, but I think that's intentional in this case.
That's edgy.
Yes.
It was From what the promoter said, he wanted something different. You know, I think there's several people throughout the United States who actually have done Wrestle Rock. And back in, I think, the late 80s, AWA, I think, along with World Class, might have done a Wrestle Rock also.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted the name to be different. You know, when you look at it, you're like, well, that's, you know, it's not your usual stuff. And it's first time doing it.
And had a song called Ragnarok. And it was ROK. So if Guara has Ragnarok, then I'm cool with wrestling being Ragnarok.
Who knows? But maybe he's a longtime fan of it, you know?
So the proceeds are going to a charity, I believe. So what can you give us a little info about the show and what it's about, Terry?
The promoter wouldn't actually on Facebook, which I find it hard to believe. I think everybody should be on Facebook because, you know, that's the way I believe it's free advertisement and it's the best form of communication.
Mm-hmm.
But so he asked for some help to get the word out, and we did. It's, we're trying to raise money for the proceeds that's going to the homeless war vets and the VA fund. And got the band started. It's a 7 o'clock called Pit Boss. And wrestling should start around 8. As like you mentioned earlier, we had Pandora, Naisha, Sunshine in a cage. Got my brother and his partner, taking two other guys, also in a coveting cage match. Supposed to be me and Puppet versus Robert Gibson and Kato, but they had a sponsorship issue that was supposed to cover all the you know, the arrangements and flights and everything for the midgets, and that kind of fell through. So they're moving along, and to rectify that issue, the promotions was giving away buy one get one free tickets, any price range you wanted. So they were trying to, you know, make right by the fans, and if you bought a $25 ticket, you get one of the same value or lesser, which is the Gold Circle, and it was they're trying to do right for the first show, and anybody knows if you're ever at a show, the first one's always the hardest one to get in the books, and you don't have space, no?
So this is something that someone's planning to do this on a regular basis?
Like I told them, get through the first one, and then we'll look at the second one. And, but this is Robert Gibson's birthday, so it might be the last for y'all to see before I give him his birthday beating. You know, you got the Rock and Roll Express versus the Rocker. You know, it's, you know, something could happen, and We've been at it a few times already this year. And it should be fun. They're celebrating their – you can't take nothing away from Rockford Express. And this is their 30th anniversary and one of the longest still tagging tag teams. You got some that may tag it once in Blue Moon, but, you know, at least 2-3 times a month you can see these guys all over the United States tagging it. So they're being very consecutive. And, I mean, you know, you got to respect them for at least that much.
Yes, sir. Well, I see this is something that I've been curious about for a while. I see the Patriots name on this card. Do you know what the deal is with the Patriot? Is that the same Patriot from the 90s and 80s? Or?
Well, here's the story. I was there when the Patriot persona first came about, and it was a guy named Poeman. He was about 5'8". And pretty chubby fella stuff. And he actually came up with several gimmicks of the National Critters, the Patriot, the Convicts, or the inmate gimmicks. He patented all these stuff and ended up selling the Patriot gimmick, or part of the rights to the Patriot gimmick, with Dale was doing it out in Global. And then he got signed up with WCW, and then, of course, then he got signed up with some personal issues and kind of dropped out. So there's been several different forms of the Patriot. Dale was the one that got the most notoriety because he was with the big companies, but there's been some prior to him. So Dale was actually first, but and apparently he's not the last Patriot.
Okay. All right. Well, who is the Patriot, or are you allowed to say who's wearing the mask at this show, or do you know?
At this time, I'm not sure exactly which one they got booked, but it don't matter to me. If he gets my way, I'll just knock his ass out. You know that.
I'm here to tell you, boys.
No, he's scheduled to be involved in the match with your brother, I believe.
You ain't lived and you've been in a karaoke bar with the Patriot, and he sings "Proud to Be an American." I'm here to tell you that right now. You have not lived.
Born.
You finished that.
If anybody's that born in the USA, I might have to take him out too. You know, he can take me out, but that's only for like lunch or dinner. That's the only way he can take me out. But yeah, it's I'm hoping for a good turnout for his good cause, and cause you might be lucky to see Robert Gibson walking around. But I'm planning on giving his birthday spankings and beating him at the same time. Sometimes it's 8 o'clock. There's like 5 or 6 matches. Covington National Guard Army, which is off exit 90 off I-20, Turner Lake Road. It's about 2 miles off the interstate. And they're doing a after-show party. If you bring your ticket, bring it to 5 o'clock Somewhere's Bar, which is just right off the interstate before you get to the Armory, right in the Ingalls and Kmart Shops, and they will give you a free item. Now, what that is, I'm not sure. It could be a free beverage, free side item, appetizer. They just offer free items after the show.
All right. excuse me. While I'm looking at the poster. It says you can call 770. Can't see it on Facebook. It's pretty small. Do you know what the number is, Terry?
Hold on 1 second.
Looks like 715-9760. So, again, 770-715-9760 in lieu of a website for more information.
770-715-9760.
All right.
There we go.
Got it.
All right. Well,
off the iPhones.
Yeah. Well, Terry, I appreciate you filling in last second for Robert Gibson.
No problem.
And looks like a pretty cool show, so good luck. And hopefully we'll see WrestleRock 2 sometime soon as well.
If you don't see me there, who knows? I might surprise somebody and pop in on one of y'all shows sometime soon.
It's always
been a while,
good to see you.
I have not seen you in so long. It's so long.
Well, y'all got a what show Friday and Saturday right here in town?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's PCW/Empire is still every Friday. And they do shows in Porterdale on Saturdays, first and third Saturday, so they've got one coming up this Saturday, too.
All right, well, and who knows, I may surprise y'all and just pop in unannounced, so don't be afraid of me, turn around to see me pop up on you.
You've always been nice to me, so. All right, well, Terry, I guess we'll let you go for now, but again, good luck on Thursday, and I'm sure we'll see you around sometime soon.
Got a cold beer waiting for me in the refrigerator here.
All right,
that kind of night.
Hey guys, I appreciate y'all's help and support on most of the things I get involved in. Y'all have a great night, and just keep having fun, guys.
All right, you too.
All right, this is goodbye.
Thanks. Root, root.
Telling y'all, you've not lived until you've been karaoke with a Patriot. That's just that's a real thing. I experienced it. Drew was with me. I don't know where y'all were.
Where was
this? This would have been after the Grayson Memorial show, not the last one, but the one prior to that, up in wherever that is, right off the Travis Tritt Highway. And it was a similar deal, like Terry was saying. You know, they had an after party at some hole-in-the-wall joint. And so it's just it's mostly just regulars and wrestlers. And so you know when that crowd gets going that you got issues. And like this little girl, she couldn't have been more than like 8, if that, is doing the karaoke version of the Lee Greenwood standard Pride to Be an American, and the Patriot is sitting right in front of me, and the chorus hits and the Patriot rises to his feet and he belts out that chorus, and I thought that I might have died and gone to heaven. I thought I might have passed away and had shed this mortal coil, and I was being welcomed into heaven. And he wore the mask all night. He never came out of the mask in the bar. He's drinking his beer. He's eating his wings in the mask. And I still laugh at it to this day. Also the night that somebody broke somebody's nose, and those two were in the bar, and I just knew that it was going to be an explosive scene. So I used my better judgment, and me and Drew got back to civilization.
All right. Well, glad you made it out of there okay.
Well.
with a Patriot story, too.
I mean, you can't beat that.
All right. Well, Danny, you still there?
Yeah, man. I was just thinking about how it's weird that there's so many hot bitches in Ethiopia.
Aren't they all hot? It's pretty hot over there.
Oh, you meant like... I was watching Bizarre Foods with Andrew Zimmerman, and he's in Ethiopia, and I'm like, man, there's some really hot bras over there.
Well, I don't know how to segue from that into our next guest, but Tony Cozina is now joining us. He's been through Georgia several times over the past year or so with Davey Richards and Kyle O'Reilly, and he'll be back this weekend. So he's joining us now. How you doing, Tony?
Good. We're talking about hot chicks in Ethiopia, huh?
Well, you never know what'll come out of Danny's mouth, so.
All right. That's hell of a time for me to call in, but I'm down with it. What the hell?
Yeah, well, I don't know if you know Danny, but Danny Onley's the guy that actually beat Davey Richards last time he was at Academy Theater in a Platinum Classic tournament.
I'm sure I've met him, and forgive me if I'm probably shook your hand and hung out with you all night for all I know. I'm getting hit in the head too many damn times. I know the name.
Yeah.
I just can't put the face to it at the moment.
Well,
I'm the guy with hated tattooed on my chest.
What's that?
I'm the guy with hated tattooed on my chest.
Okay.
You'll know him when you see him, I promise you.
Yeah, oh, no, but, I'm sure I will. Well, I hate it because we get there so late, and it's like change and head out to the ring. I always like to be there early. We're never there early. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, I've noticed that. There was one show in particular where you guys showed up, I guess, at the last possible moment. That was a hectic show. But anyway, so you'll be back this Friday. You're taking on Supernatural at Academy Theater. And then Saturday you'll be in Porterdale. I'm not sure who you're wrestling there yet. But and then you'll be at Rampage on Sunday. So do you know who your opponents are going to be at each of these shows?
No, I don't. All I know is I think there's a tag match in Rampage, and we've been on kind of a, Davey and I have been kind of raising hell throughout the NWA, and I've been just calling things as they are, and I think it's ruffled a load of feathers, and they can just deal with it. Because
I was going to get into that.
Danny mentioned that to me the other day, so I was going to ask about
ain't
it.
Nobody
but,
can stop me. They ain't going to stop me. And it's getting everybody a lot of press, and you know, I've kind of figured out how the way things work in wrestling nowadays, in general. And it doesn't work how I was trained. I'll just say that. So as I've sat back and waited and been a nice guy and thank you, sir, and what would you like to do? And, you know, these people make me out to be an idiot at the end of the day. They make me out to look like I'm not capable. They make me out to look like I can't handle it anymore. I'm too old or I just don't have it. Because they want their young guys to shine, and I understand it. But my real estate value has gone in the toilet because of me just shaking hands and going, yeah, okay, that's fine. No problem. So I'm taking back my place.
Well, that's good. So what is it exactly that you've been, you and Davey have been doing that have gotten people a little upset?
Well, I think more than anything, it's just me and my big mouth. but I, you know, someone's saying, oh, you're talking a lot of shit. And I go, no, actually, I'm not talking shit. If I'm talking shit, that means that I'm spouting lies.
Yeah.
It's not talking shit if you back it up.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not at all. You know? And as far as through my eyes, to the best of my knowledge, I'm not going to say anything that isn't as true as I know it to be. So, I mean, the wrestling world needs a wake-up call because everything's completely fake. And no one's going to pay to see bad porno acting, which is really what it's all become.
Amen.
And I'm going to take it back. And we've been working hard to become the most disciplined grapplers and fighters and, you know, that we can possibly be. And to the people that hide behind the fact that wrestling is a work, they go, it's a work, it's this and that, but it does that because it's a work does not give you a green light to take advantage of it and sit on your ass all day and do phony wrestling moves and expect me to come in there and make you look good when we're training 4, 5, 6 days a week. So people are going to start getting smashed, and you know what? The promoters are still going to book us because the fans want to see it. Fans want to see us. Fans want to see David Richard. Fans want to see Kyle O'Reilly. Fans want to see Tony Kazina. Fans want to see King Fale, who's here from New Japan Pro Wrestling, because New Japan sent him to us for us to train. That says something.
So could it be that your opinion on wrestling in general might be to get better or get out?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just, yeah, like in any job, if you're not improving, then why are you on the payroll?
Oh, amen to that. Well, I got to ask you, because I saw the video that you and Davey, you know, where you talking, and you seemed a lot of your aggression was directed at the NWA, but it can't just be the NWA doing this. Is it an issue with NWA, or is it an issue with just fucking wrestling in general?
Oh, it's in wrestling in general. You know, if I have my way, I'm going to go on Ring of Honor to do the same goddamn thing. I don't know if
right.
I cuss on your program, but I just did.
Go ahead.
Fuck yeah, you can.
Because I just had a situation in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where Kyle, you know, got a little out of line with me. And and I have an idea what they want to do with that. But I'm not going to sit idly by and be allowed to be made a fool of. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
yeah.
If I have my way, and look, who knows? You know, but I ain't no superstar. But I've only just begun, and I'm getting a lot of positive feedback, a lot of feedback in general. Positive, negative, you're just getting feedback. In wrestling, anything is good. any publicity. Well, you know, well, save for if I'm like going on a shooting spree, killing people. We don't need that kind of publicity. But you know what I'm saying? By and large, any publicity, any feedback is good feedback. But yeah, I mean, someone needs to do something for wrestling because it's dying.
Yeah, well, that's something that Danny only's been part of the show for a few months now, but it's definitely been you're preaching the same sermon in a lot of ways that Danny's been preaching for a while. So, but I want to ask you, you spent a good bit of your career in NWA, and you've held some titles in NWA, and also worked for Ring of Honor and other promotions in New Japan and everything else. But where are you wrestling mostly these days? Is there one promotion that you work for a lot, or are you just traveling around?
You know, gosh, I mean, I haven't had like what they call a home promotion forever, not since back in, you know, when I was in NWA Northwest there, ECCW. We've been doing a lot more work with NWA. Smoky Mountain, which actually runs a damn good thing, and they've got their head on straight. That's a 10-hour drive for us, but we're starting to get out a lot more. And, once you go to a certain area, like we go to Tennessee, then you start meeting people and meeting promoters that are there that are from West Virginia or from Kentucky or so forth. We go down to Atlanta and work for Steve's group down there. Then you start meeting people that, I wasn't there on the last show, because I was on the West Coast, but the guys talked to some promoter and that ran Arkansas and some other place, so they got more shows. You just start networking, it just happens. So we're starting to go. We just work all over, but we're realizing who the good promoters are to work for and who's just kind of goofs.
Shit.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, you know, Smoky Mountain would be, I guess you kind of consider our home out there in Tennessee, because they're always happy to have us, and we're going to try to get out there as much as we can, and then our networking will get us other shows around the area coming and going. Same thing with Steve's down there and Jimmy Ray's group, Rampage in Warner Robins, Georgia. The door is always open for both of those, and then we just find another group. And since all this whole thing's been taken off, with me and my big fat mouth on this NWA kick, and then, you know, Davey and Kyle doing their things in Ring of Honor, it's like, now we're starting to get contact from people in Mississippi, people in West Virginia. These guys in West Virginia just had us out in Kentucky, you know, NWA Bluegrass. We just turned that place on its rear end when we went there. We beat the crap out of Chance Profit for good measure. So it's good. We just keep going in kind of loops, I guess, to answer your question.
Okay. Well, yeah, you've definitely been through Georgia quite a bit, like I said earlier. But and it seems like you guys have a great relationship with Stephen Platinum and everybody there. So that being said, you're facing Supernatural. Are you familiar with him? He's like a little luchador that they have there.
No, I have no idea. In fact, when you said his name at first, I wrote it down because I was like, okay, I'm done here. I'm going to start snooping around online because I like to know who I'm with and what's going on, and, you know, start formulating ideas and whatnot.
He has superpowers.
Well, yeah, he's the undead luchador. He doesn't speak. He's a very small guy, but he does this double stomp off the top rope thing that Danny, have you? I believe you've had that done to you, haven't you?
Nah, man, my double
no.
Stomp and it sucked.
Yeah,
Davey.
That's a problem.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Davey, a good 100 pounds or so heavier than Supernatural, but
double stomp me in the sternum.
Well, who is the it's you, Davey Richards, Kyle O'Reilly, and there's a fourth person coming with you guys, right?
Kyle's not gonna be at the show. I think he's got Gorilla, and we had a bit of falling out last weekend, so I did him the service of leaving him in Milwaukee and driving home. So, we've had a lot of people. The other guy that's coming with us is from Sacramento, California area. He wrestled with Darren Dean, and he moved out to train with us, live with us. And
crazy. I think he wrestled Simon Sermon last time they were through.
That's right.
When you weren't there, Tony, I believe he wrestled a really good match with Simon Sermon.
Okay,
yeah.
That's right. Yeah,
that's
I wasn't there. I think when they went down is when Darren went down with them for the first time. So it's going to be just Davey, Darren, and myself on this trip. And then, because it's very strange. Like, you know, our whole Team Ambition concept, we've had a lot of guys wanting to train with us. And so we've had people come in for anywhere from 3 to 5 days. And basically what it is full immersion. You live with us. You get up when we do. You work out with us. You eat, you know. And you pay us the money. And when we get you the food, we cook the food. You're basically, what would you call it? Like, you just, it's like kind of similar to the way Davey describes the New Japan Dojo, where they have cooks and you just train and you eat and you bust your ass. And Darren was the first one to do that. And then when he did it, he stayed for like 4 days, I think, and then went on the road with us before he left. And he went back home and he emailed us and he's like, I want to move out there. The hell with this. You know, I got a taste of what it's like and this is what I want to do. So he moved out a couple months ago, you know, making that sacrifice, which is really what it takes to get anywhere in this business.
Right.
Even from the time that he was down there in Atlanta last time to now, I'm sure heads and shoulders improvements. Because
I really envy you guys, you know, for being in a situation where you can do that, because some people just don't have that opportunity. Not saying you guys don't have real life responsibilities, but like there's even if you guys came down and said, Danny, please come up here with us, we'd love to train you and kick your ass, blah blah, and I'd love to do it. I couldn't, you know, I there's no way I could detach my ties from home to take off and do that. So people that are actually able to do that, I envy them, and I get pissed at the ones who are able to, who don't take advantage, because I would jump on it in a heartbeat, you know, to be able to train, eat, work out, and be around people who are light years beyond anything that I could think of right now. You know, it's something to envy, man.
And see, it's one thing. It's like, you know, it's one thing, and I don't know what your personal situation is. You got a house, a family, a good paying job, or whatever
right.
your situation is. But, I mean, that's part of life, man. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, we don't knock people that have those responsibilities. If you work to the best of your ability within your, what would you call it, your parameter of life, you can't knock somebody for that. But it's the people, like you said, that have nothing, but they could get up and go wherever, and they sit on their ass. Because
right.
why? Because they already have this position. Once you already have the spot on the show, what the hell do you need to work hard for if it's been given to you? We find out who those people are really quick, and we smash them, and we smash them hard. And I guess, like, if that's, you know, some people think it's dickish, but you know what? Man, when I started, and it ain't like I'm some old-timer, you know what I mean? I started in 97. That's far from old school, but when I started was when Sandy Barr ran in Portland. I don't know, you know, Sandy was Don Owens' referee for years and years and years and years. So his is a very actual old school promotion where Jesse Barr, his son, was part of it. Matt Bourne was the matchmaker. Colonel DeBeers, Richie Magnum, all these guys that have been around for 20 years. And they just looked at you and just said, okay, kid, you just listen. And there was no going over, hey, man, I want to do this. Hey, I want to do that. I see you out there. You just listen to me. I'm like, oh, shit. And, you know, when you cut your teeth like that and you go in there and these kids come up, like, case in point, man, I think this kid's playing with me, but we're going to have a hell of a good old time in a couple of weeks. And I don't give them publicity, and that's fine, because I want everybody to see, because I'm going to dismantle this fucking idiot.
Oh,
this kid, I'm going to wrestle in Iowa. The promotion puts a blurb on there, Tony Kazina coming to wrestle. I don't even know the kid's name. So I was like, oh, I want to see what this kid looks like. I want to see what he wrestles like and whatever. I punched onto his Twitter account. And under the description on his name, it says something along the lines of the fakest fake wrestler out there.
What?
So I was like, sweet.
What?
So I put a tweet out there to the promotion to him that said, the kid status says fake is the fake wrestler. God help this idiot. I hope you have an EMT. And I'm not joking. Then this kid proceeds to cut a promo on me, and I'm sure that he thinks it's all fun and games. And I can't be mad at these kids, because really what we have is a generation of people that have grown up thinking that wrestling is fake, and because it's the way it's been presented to everybody for the last, 15 years now?
Yep.
It's entertainment. When I grew up, back in the old days, wrestling was presented like as if it was real. No one's going to give you a power bomb or a vertical suplex in a bar fight, but it was more logically done, let's say. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They didn't push the whole entertainment thing, and there was not the internet, so you didn't know that there was the guys all hanging out, and they kept kayfabe, and, you know, the heels stayed with the heels, and the faces stayed with the face. There was no information about what goes on outside the ring. So it was easier to get caught up in it. Let's say. So, but at the same time, don't slap everybody in the mouth and have yourself a good time at the expense of what's left of the wrestling business, of the indie wrestling business. Because the kid cut a promo on me, that's why I went on Facebook under the promotion, Magnum Pro Wrestling, and I said, I like it. And I said, so I'm going to make this very public so everybody understands, and I'll make it public on your show. When I come up there, we're going to have a legitimate wrestling match. There's going to be no finishes called, and no one's going to spoon-feed each other. So he says he's going to revolution with who the young boy is, and I'm sure he's having fun or thinks it's all fun and games, but God help him. There's going to be good times.
Do you run into that a lot? As you're going around, because like you said, you didn't know who you're wrestling kind of here and there. And do you run into that a lot where you show up and they feed you some kid and expect you to, as you said, you to do all the work and make the kid look good?
There was a while where I had that. There was a couple of defining moments. I went down when I was living in Charlotte and worked for Bill Barron, and they had me put over this kid by submission, who was half my size, and I left scratching my head and going, what the hell was that all about? And then, the next day they're tooting it that he beat the world, former world champion by, and I'm like, you know what, I think that kind of hurt my credibility. And even though this is a work, there is very much an underlying, you know what I mean? Even though it's a work, if I go and, if Kyle O'Reilly loses every match, Or if they don't give CM Punk the microphone to take his stance, he's as invisible as he was when he first walked out there. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Yep.
Like, you have to have the talent. They don't give CM Punk or John Cena or name your guy the ability to go out there and speak the way that they speak. That's God-given, talent. But these people, whether it's Ring of Honor, New Japan, whatever, you are booked to become a superstar. I mean, they crammed Cena down everybody's throat for years and years and years until he started to get over. Likewise, they've had guys on there, like Loki, for example, where they just put him on there, really didn't give him a chance to shine, and then he's out. And you can argue it back and forth that, he's not charismatic enough, or it's this, that, and the other. No, man, fucking let him go out there and be low-key. That's what got him all, that's what made him famous everywhere else, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, but why would you have him be low-key when you can call him Caval and have him be managed by the two chicks who've been in wrestling for 3 months?
Well, see, now that raises a good point. Why? Yeah. But yeah, of course. Foolish me. But you see what I'm saying, you have to have that steam behind you. I don't even know how we got on this topic. I swear I got hit in the head too many damn times. What were we talking about?
Segway.
Going off of it.
I don't remember, but hey, Tony, we need to wrap things up, but we do have a caller. Do you mind if we take a call real quick? I'm assuming they want to ask you a question.
Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, thanks for calling Georgia Wrestling Now. You're on the line with Tony Cozina. Who is this?
Hello, soy con Tokyo. Hold on.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Can you hear me? Tony, hey,
yeah.
This is Juan. I'm friends with Supernatural.
Okay.
Hey. What did he say? He said that it's an honor to actually get to wrestle you come Friday.
Cool. I look forward to it because everybody, when we go down there and work, it's called Empire Wrestling now. Isn't that right? It's not Platinum Wrestling.
Yeah. At Academy Theater, but Platinum has a show in Porterdale on Saturday.
And we're on that one, too. Everybody that we've come down there to wrestle has been first class. And I'm talking about first class and their attitude and the way that they approach wrestling. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't think a lot of people know this, but Davey started with Steve.
Yeah.
Before he was sent to me. And so, you know, it was a big deal for him when we went down last year or whatever to go to work for the guy that originally trained him. And I don't think that Davey'd seen him in quite some time, if I remember correctly. But you know, like, the way that each of those people come up and very respectful and not just going through the motions of, you know what I mean? Like, everybody can go, yeah, hello, sir, whatever. But, like, genuine, you know what I mean? Shows me that Steve's on the ball and has the smarts and instills discipline from day one. So I'm always looking forward to coming back down there. I was bummed out that I didn't wasn't able to join the last time. But yeah, man, I mean, I'm going to look for the Supernatural online. I look forward to coming down there. And then I imagine I'll be with somebody else on Saturday for the group, too. Be awesome.
All right, well, we're looking forward to it, and appreciate you calling, and we will see you this weekend for sure.
Absolutely. I'll see you guys down, man.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yep.
All right. Well, we've got no, we don't, but we're going to do it anyway. What time is it, Matt?
It's time for our fun fact with Danny Only.
What do you got
here's
for this week,
fact. Danny? Here's a fun fact. I have a bone chunk in my left elbow that is bigger than some indie wrestlers today.
All right. Well, next week we have Strychnine is going to be our guest because he's defending the NWA Southern States title against Anthony Henry at Alternative Pro Wrestling next weekend. And remind us who our other guest is, Danny.
Chris Dickinson. It will be an interesting interview, trust me.
All right. Well, I guess that's it for this week. So we will be back, and next week is when we go to 7 p.m. So we'll have Vince McMahon call in and explain all that to you why we're doing that.
Sweet.
Not all right, really,
I'm
of course. All right. Well, we'll be back next Monday at 7, our new time, with Strychnine and that guy that Danny just mentioned. Until then, have a good week and go see some wrestling matches.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.